I'm Mike Rosh, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem reporting for Sitrep Israel. Welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This Sitrep was generated on Sunday, the 3rd of May 2026 at 019 Israel time, 2119 UTC. Hezbollah-Israel clashes intensify as US troop withdrawal from Germany deepens rift with Europe. The past 24 hours saw a sharp acceleration in fighting across southern Lebanon, with the IDF striking more than 70 military structures and 50 Hezbollah infrastructure sites, command centers, weapons storage and rocket launchers in locations including Zaatar, Ganduria and Duer. Hezbollah responded with artillery and drone attacks on Israeli troop positions, claiming its operations were retaliation for Israeli ceasefire violations. No IDF casualties were reported. Lebanese health authorities put the civilian toll at 41 killed in the previous 24 hours, 10 of them on Saturday alone. The IDF also acknowledged damaging a Catholic convent in the south, but denied demolishing it, stating Hezbollah had fired rockets from the compound multiple times. The Catholic Church in Lebanon denied the site was used by the group. An Israeli cabinet meeting scheduled for Sunday is expected to address Hezbollah's continued attacks. Now, turning to the regional sections, in Iran, a senior official warned that renewed conflict with the United States is likely after President Trump rejected Tehran's latest proposal, an offer that would have opened the Strait of Hormuz and ended the U.S. blockade before nuclear negotiations began. Deputy Foreign Minister Kazem Gharibabadi briefed foreign ambassadors in Tehran on the proposal, stressing Iran's readiness for both diplomacy and deterrence. On the economic front, Pentagon sources estimate Iran has lost nearly $5 billion in oil revenue since the blockade began in mid-April, and the country has begun reducing production due to full storage in the blockade itself. Iranian state media claimed that at least 16 U.S. facilities in the Middle East were targeted by precise strikes, causing an estimated $50 billion in damage, a figure that remains unverified. In Lebanon, beyond the headline exchanges, the Lebanese Armed Forces commander held an unusual meeting with a U.S. general in Beirut, signaling ongoing diplomatic channels even as the kinetic tempo rises. Israeli media reported non-stop gunfire and drone launches toward Israeli forces, though again, no IDF casualties were confirmed. Moving to Gaza, troops operating in the south identified four men who crossed the so-called yellow line and approached forces. Three were killed and a fourth was hit. The IDF stressed that troops remain deployed in accordance with the ceasefire agreement and will continue to remove immediate threats. Meanwhile, the diplomatic fallout from the Gaza flotilla interception deepened. Spain demanded the release of Spanish citizen Saif Abukashek, with Foreign Minister José Manuel Albares calling the detention illegal and Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez accusing Israel of illegal abduction. Brazil also protested the detention of its citizen Tiago Avila. The aid group running the flotilla reported that the two men have begun a hunger strike and Australians released from the flotilla alleged mistreatment by Israeli forces. Separately, Israeli ministers are set to discuss renewing the Gaza war as Hamas refuses to disarm, and Al Jazeera reported that Israel's expanding Orange Line is tightening no-go zones for civilians. In the West Bank, Israeli settlers stormed the Qaraba area near Sinjil north of Ramallah. Israeli forces also entered a Palestinian home in Sera, west of Nablus, and moved into the village of Deir Sharia east of Ramallah, firing tear gas. On the multilateral track, the Pentagon confirmed it will withdraw 5,000 troops from Germany over the next 6 to 12 months, fulfilling President Trump's threat amid a rift with Chancellor Merz over the Iran war. Trump is also considering pulling forces from Italy and Spain, both vocal opponents of the war. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius said the drawdown should spur Europe to strengthen its own defenses, noting Germany is expanding its armed forces. NATO called for clarity on the move. In related developments, the U.S. warned shipping companies they could face sanctions if they pay Iran tolls for safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. Only a handful of vessels are making the journey daily, and alternative routes through Syria are being used to bypass the strait, with hundreds of Iraqi oil trucks hauling crude overland to Banias port. Iran's foreign minister also discussed bilateral and regional developments with his South Korean counterpart, and FIFA expressed regret that Canada blocked the Iranian Football Federation president from attending its Congress. In other world developments, a drone strike in Khartoum killed five people, the second such attack in a week after months of relative calm following government forces regaining control of the city. Ukraine is monitoring Belarus border activities as Russian strikes persist, with Kyiv stating it is ready to respond to any threats. Spirit Airlines declared immediate bankruptcy, citing rising fuel costs from the Iran war after failing to secure a government bailout. Heavy rains in northeast Brazil killed at least 6 people and displaced thousands. Jordanian airstrikes targeted drug dealers in Syria's Suwaida countryside, and the vessel Eureka was hijacked toward Somalia, indicating resurging piracy in the Bab el-Mandab area. Moving to the analysis, first the trend, the tempo of Hezbollah-Israel exchanges has accelerated sharply compared to the prior week. The April 30th peak of 10 Hezbollah attacks in a single day has been sustained, and the IDF is now striking over 70 military structures and 50 infrastructure sites in a 24-hour window, a significant increase from the 30 to 40 daily targets reported earlier. The scale of IDF operations suggests a deliberate shift from retaliatory strikes to a systematic degradation campaign. Civilian casualty figures reported by Lebanese health authorities are also markedly higher, indicating a widening operational footprint. This trajectory points toward a new, more intense phase of the conflict, moving beyond tit-for-tat exchanges. On the information environment, the narrative space is bifurcated along predictable lines. The IDF and Israeli-aligned outlets frame the strikes as necessary responses to Hezbollah ceasefire violations, emphasizing the group's use of civilian infrastructure. Hezbollah and al-Manar counterframe the attacks as Israeli aggression against Lebanese civilians, highlighting convent damage and high casualty counts. The U.S. troop withdrawal from Germany is being weaponized by both sides. Iran and its proxies portray it as a sign of American weakness and transatlantic fracture, while the U.S. and Israel frame it as a bilateral dispute unrelated to the Iran conflict. The gap between reporting and underlying evidence is most acute around Iranian strike claims. State media's assertion of $50 billion in damage to U.S. facilities is unverifiable and likely inflated, yet it dominates the Iranian narrative space. Western media is largely ignoring this claim, creating a parallel information universe. And the synthesis, the U.S. troop withdrawal from Germany, is not merely a diplomatic spat, but a strategic signal that the administration is prioritizing the Iran theater over NATO commitments, potentially freeing up logistical and force generation capacity for a prolonged Hormuz blockade or direct strikes. This interpretation is supported by the concurrent consideration of pulling troops from Italy and Spain, both vocal opponents of the war, suggesting a deliberate effort to sideline European dissent. A counter-reading is that the drawdown is a cost-cutting measure unrelated to Iran, but the timing and explicit linkage to the war by Trump himself make this less plausible. The withdrawal, combined with the Pentagon's estimate of Iranian oil revenue losses, indicates a strategy of economic strangulation that may be designed to force Iran back to the negotiating table on more favorable terms, even as military options remain on the table. And now the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. Three indicators to watch. 1. Check Sentinel-1 imagery over southern Lebanon for new crater fields near Za'atar and Gandourieh matching IDF strike claims. 2. Monitor Flight Radar 24 for U.S. military cargo flights departing Ramstein Air Base to continental U.S. bases. A spike would confirm the 5000 troop drawdown timeline. Through review the Money Fabian Telegram channel posting cadence on Hezbollah attack claims versus IDF strike numbers for the 24-hour period ending midday Sunday to assess escalation tempo. Looking at these indicators through a status quo lens, within 24 hours, the IDF will announce strikes on at least 50 additional Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon, maintaining the current operational tempo. Before the Israeli cabinet meeting on Sunday, Hezbollah will launch at least one rocket or drone attack targeting IDF positions in southern Lebanon, resulting in no Israeli casualties, and the Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 9th, with no resumption of direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange. Now looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, within 72 hours, a Hezbollah rocket or drone attack will cause multiple IDF casualties, prompting Israeli airstrikes on Beirut's southern suburbs for the first time since the April 16th ceasefire. By May 5th, Iran will conduct a live-fire naval exercise in the Gulf of Oman, closing a portion of international waters and testing U.S. blockade enforcement, And within 48 hours, Spain will announce the suspension of diplomatic relations with Israel over the flotilla detentions, leading to a broader EU diplomatic crisis, though with low confidence. That concludes this ITREP. For more, visit SciTrepISR.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_SciTreps. This is Mike Rasch, signing off from Jerusalem.